grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Good afternoon, Chris Valley.
Oh, good afternoon.
How are you, mate?
Very well. Lovely day out there, isn't it?
Sure is.
Sunny. Hot.
Absolutely.
Great day for some marijuana.
Delish, yeah.
Media.
Hello to everybody that backs the DAC Leaf and wants it to be available to people to use in their own goddamn way that they want to goddamn use it. Goddamn.
Back the DAC.
That's
our new slogan. Like
that. That's a sticker. Yeah.
That could be the referendum question.
You're not even forcing like a CK rhyme. It's actually two Ks. It's great.
Love it.
Now, what's in the news this week, Chris?
Well, the big news locally, of course, if anyone hasn't heard, we had the first cannabis company get a license to produce medical cannabis here in New Zealand. That is Hikarangi Enterprises down on the East Cape. I'm sure everyone's familiar with them and their story, and it's fantastic. It's another milestone. It's a great step forward.
Is there a limit to how much they can grow? What's the situation there?
Well,
because that's kind of always been the problem, eh? Like, how much can people actually do?
Well, that at this stage, I think, would be proprietary information. I'm not sure that's been made public.
Right.
Certainly, these licenses do come with conditions.
Okay.
You don't just get a blank slate to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, the what the conditions let you do is going to be very
and also it has to be a secure place that in a sense that they're growing it, won't it? Because it's
well, who knows? There actually is no kind of set of rules that you can just look up.
Well, I'm more thinking about like people if they get wind of it, because it's still illegal for most people.
Yeah,
well, and there's going to be some nice DAC lying around somewhere. And just go. Well, what do I have to do? Just jump a fence, push a cow over, grab a DAC, and cruise off. Or?
Yeah, and that won't be the patient in the wheelchair or the bedridden cancer patient who's doing that.
Be...
Of course, it's the gangster type. So you know who's willing to do that.
Wow, it's opportunist. Type
well,
people, wouldn't it?
Like probably more like planned, heavy kind of crimes. Yes, that's exactly right.
If
security
I saw a field of marijuana, Chris, as I'm cruising down the road, call me a criminal, mate, but I'm going to go for a little run through the field, innit? You know what I mean?
I think that's terrible.
At this stage,
that
though.
That is someone else's property. If this was avocados
this
and you were just
at.
In there stealing them,
but,
I'd be like, hey, where's my shotgun?
But
you
let's,
know?
Be I mean, let's be realistic, though. I think, like, that's what I'm saying. Do they have to grow this in, like, a greenhouse situation? Or
I'm sure there will
for
be,
it to be medical?
Conditions around security.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, Chris. Because
I'm like the purity as well, though, for it to keep the, you know, any outside influence happen to it. Does it need to be grown in a greenhouse?
Yeah, because they will
potentially,
haven't they got hemp crops down there as well? Wouldn't one water the other down if there's hemp in the area and they're also growing...
Hemp's naturally high in CBD, so that might be what you're looking for in the first place.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right. One of the things with growing outdoors is that anyone in the nearby vicinity, which could be yourself with just a different crop or a different field or a different plant, you know, if you have a male appear, then they're going to potentially pollinate your crop and potentially ruin it. So that is an issue. That's something for each individual company or enterprise to work out, I guess.
To manage.
Yeah, to manage. Yeah, but certainly security will be a big thing going forward. So and all these rules, you know, they haven't been worked out. They're kind of made up as they go along. There's no set of you know, criteria that you can look up. You have to kind of actually propose it and then wait for the Ministry of Health to get back to you and tell you whether that's good enough or not. So clearly, you know, going forward, we need to have a kind of framework that people can look up and go, right, that's how we do it. So that sort of thing will happen. Up till now, you know, medical cannabis hasn't been legal, so that's why these frameworks don't exist and this kind of guidance. But going forward, it will be. So these things need to be developed. And the industry is starting to work with the Ministry of Health on you know, very tentatively, hopefully. Yeah, I think it's just going to get easier as we go. This is the hardest one, is the first one, you know. So it's opening doors for more people and more companies to get involved.
I mean, they've obviously just put together a really strong business case.
I think you'd need to talk to them about it, you know what I mean? I mean, I can't speak for other people, but I can't speak for other people.
Okay.
Yeah, but right. I'm sure it was tough. It wouldn't have been easier or lots of people would have done it.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Cool.
So one of the things that is, you know, there's all sorts of things you have to take into account. One of the things is worker safety, like what you're saying. You're actually at risk of being robbed or whatever, because it's artificially inflated in price. So worker safety is very important. It's not just about theft of the crop, but it's about what happens to your people while they're working there if there's a robbery and things like that. So a lot, you know, you have to take into account a lot of these things and draw up plans and operating procedures for all these kind of things that might happen. But interestingly, this week there was a study came out that showed that workplace deaths in states in America that have become legal, so if that's an indicator of hazardness or whatever, worker deaths dropped 34% in those states in the 5 years following going legal.
How do we know? The theory, well, they don't know exactly why,
because all you can measure is a correlation of saying,
what are they thinking?
This is what we found.
Yeah.
The theory that they're working on is that cannabis is a substitute for alcohol and pharmaceuticals, and that those things impair people more.
Yeah.
So the substitution effect is actually resulting in a 34% reduction
in
deaths.
That confirms that sort of corona buying into the marijuana industry, thinking that the substitute situation, right? So they're figuring there's going to be an alcohol drop and a marijuana, like you say, like...
Absolutely.
If I went up to a bar, I would definitely grab a joint before a beer. Yeah.
Well, their motivation is to keep their revenue. The motivation from policy-making point of view and all that is that, hey, we get a reduction in deaths. That's great.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the scare tactics of what people think. Oh, this is going to be people high on the job and all these things are going to happen. Actually, no.
That's
you
just
end
the
up
first
with
week.
Safer behaviour. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Go easy the first week. And another interesting study this week from America found teenage use dropped in legal states, which of course we've been saying for a while, but it's always interesting to find that happened again, and that was in California, which of course is, you know, apparently the wild west of cannabis laws, but yet you find teenage use dropping. So
I think like these things have all actually happened in a sense when you look at the statistics coming from Holland when they first kicked in the whole scenario. All these things, all the myths just got dispelled, you know. It was like, actually, when people have the option, they choose not to. Or they choose to do it when they want and not like in the amounts that everyone thinks, like the whole world turns into zombies or something, you know. It's just that's hysteria gone wild. And then when it actually happens, it's like, oh, people are normal.
Have you heard of reefer madness?
Yeah, exactly. But you're totally right about the Dutch stuff. That research has been coming out since the early 80s. The teenage use went down, if anything, and yet they wouldn't accept it here. And we always ran up against people saying, oh, they're Dutch, they're different.
Right?
And yet all of a sudden, as soon as there's English-speaking countries doing it, now we'll take that research. What else have we got happening? Wellington Tinny House advertised on Google as a pharmacy, and it even had the ratings and things. So
okay, strong.
I guess it is a pharmacy for some people.
Is this local customers putting that up on the internet?
I think that was. I think it was a bit of, you know, bit of hilarity that the media picked up on. And good on them. It's good to have these reviews, though. Of course, in places where it's legal, you get sites like Leafly and all these other ones where you get to review things.
Right.
And point out the dodgy operators, or don't go to that dispensary, you know, they got fake or, you know,
whatever. The tinny house is still thriving?
Apparently so. Yeah, I don't know. But apparently so. It's where the young fellas and fellesses go.
Yeah, as a consumer, I can't say I've been to a tinny house in a long time. Thankfully, that's right.
And we certainly don't recommend it. And ideally, you know, if you've got a reputable place where it's all tested, where you can go to, you know what you're getting. It's R18, and that's what we all want.
I think the future for New Zealand is the grow your own angle. Like, I feel like the future for New Zealand will be like a real homebrew situation where. Because we're very hands-on, you know. We take pride in our gardens and that. You know,
That's true. We certainly don't want to exclude it. We want both options to be available. But when you look at food and homebrew and that, most people don't. You know, most people prefer to. Most people can't grow as nice a tomato as what they can buy. Most people, certainly not enough to last all year. So you've got to have the kind of option. But certainly we don't want a kind of policy where it excludes it. Just before we go, one other interesting study that came out, and that was on worms. Just, you know, one of the best things we all like to talk about, parasitic worm infection. So this was quite interesting because people often say, you know, why does cannabis affect people? Because we have these cannabinoid receptors, right? Well, it's not that people are unique or that the cannabis plant is particularly... Well, For a long time, we thought the cannabis plant was unique and it was the only thing that was producing cannabinoids. But it turns out there are a few other things.
Were they called anything before they were called cannabinoids?
No, it was just because that was the first thing that it was discovered and so it got named after it. But I think it was all discovered now, it would be called something totally different. Because these receptors are wider than, as I say, just cannabis. That they're throughout your body, in all your systems. They're in your neurons, your organs, your immune, your bones, your skin. They're just everywhere, and they're clearly involved in very basic processes. But they're not in the kind of reptilian parts. They're not in the overdose part of the brain.
Oh, right.
So reptiles and therefore birds, they don't get affected by it.
Okay.
But mammals and certain other things do.
And these worms are kind of using it as an anesthetic?
So it turns out these most common worms that affect mammals, which is roundworms and tapeworms and hookworms, and they actually have ended up producing their own endocannabinoids to inject into people or cows, whatever it is they're infecting. And so in the gut, when they're kind of latching on to, you know, have a feed or whatever it is they do, they're actually... They've ended up evolving to produce cannabinoids to stick in there to reduce pain and inflammation.
So mint.
And that is increasing survival in both species, both the parasite and the host.
Okay, win-win.
Yeah, win-win, hey?
I'm looking forward to getting worms.
And it even stimulates expelling them, so you spread these worms around more. And they found that in this mice model where they knocked out the receptors...
Fuck, mice have all the fun, eh?
Yeah, they have all the fun. They get to be genetically engineered without these receptors and see what happens. And then they found that they got more worms, right? So this is actually reducing the worm load on people, but it's also increasing the spread of the worms, and so both species are better off for it.
Just nature kicking ass there.
Yeah.
Oh, on that note, Chris, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Spreading the love.
Might just go have a snack or something.
Yeah. Wash your hands.
Eat some mud out the garage.
That was Marijuana Media.